You're listening to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Welcome to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, where we give our unfiltered first impressions of the films we just watched at the movies and record our discussion on The Drive Home. Opinions change over time, and working in the film industry, none of these critiques are meant to be personal, but rather a reaction. Thank you for listening.
I have just made the worst first impression ever, and I've done it on record. This is The Drive Home with...
I'll see you guys later.
Okay. Oh, okay. Bye.
We do the...
What?
Yeah, this is Casey, by the way.
Yeah, this is me. I'm sorry.
This is our Drive Home podcast.
I'm the idiot.
We do these after every
I'm season. Actually this way. So we haven't published these in a while, so we have like 10 of them like stacked up. We never got to see movies while we had Baby Augie for the most part.
Well, we did Logan.
We did Logan. Yeah. Blair and I actually haven't done one of these in a very, very long time.
Well, it's me and you for the Marvel one. So.
That's true.
All right, so?
Okay, so.
It's Jeremy and Gabriella.
Jeremy and Gabriella.
Sabrina. Just
Sabrina.
So
yeah, no, I know. So it's The Drive Home with Casey, Jeremy, and Sabrina. And I'm not going to forget it now. So this is the first night that I got to meet my brother's new girlfriend, Sabrina. And for some reason, the A at the end made me think Gabriella. I don't know why. When I first, like... heard it, but this is my first introduction, so I get a free pass, right?
You get a free pass.
Okay, thank you. And it's only because it's being recorded right now. That's probably the reason why, but that's, we'll just keep on moving. So we saw The Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Today is May 4th, which is 8 years of We're Alive, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that.
So today's our stupid Star Wars day. Took it after us.
May 4th.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't a thing in 2009.
It really actually wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It's a millennial thing that like, they cashed in and keep trying to geek it.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's more things they can sell.
Anyway.
So I'm moving my birthday to the 8th,
all
but
right,
anyway.
So we've already walked for 10 minutes. We haven't discussed the movie yet.
Well, you see the, all these
look,
people standing around.
In their Wookiee costume.
All of these people are coming in to see the movie tonight, and I'm not going to be that guy who's walking out and saying blah, 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 blah. But the minute that he said ego, I was like, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
Because I was like, because in the comic book, that's...
In the comic books, it's a planet.
Yes.
It's a freaking planet. And we're like, okay, it's Kurt Russell, but how are they going to do a planet? But then again, if you read the comic books quite a bit, you know that he manifested in human form quite a bit as an emissary.
Well, I think he had to in order to be even in the movie, in a way. But
they still was in the comic show, so
yeah.
It wasn't that far of a stretch from the actual base material.
Yeah, I know Ego from the trading cards.
Right.
That's the only really thing that I know him from.
I remember when the comic book Galactus tried to eat him.
Oh, really?
That was a good one, actually.
Oh, Galactus versus Ego?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know about that.
So having it, they actually make in the words of Celestial, which is always very cool to actually bring up the
yeah.
cosmic universe.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, they're doubling down in a weird direction.
Double down with the cosmic universe.
Yeah. Time. Yeah, with Adam Warlock. Because, well, you take a look at, like, Ragnarok,
yeah.
and it's the same, like, sort of, like, feel that, let's see here.
They're adding to the cosmic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool part about it. But, you know...
Well, they're going to have to get to the Infinity War.
Well, of course, but to have,
Hold on. There we are, I'm over there.
All right. To have Stan Lee confirmed as a Watcher.
But that's not confirmed as a Watcher, is it?
They actually, they interviewed him and they said, yep, he's confirmed.
Well,
he's a Watcher.
So that's why he has all the
that's
roles.
That's why he's in all the cameos and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, well, so I apologize. Who is the shorter person to sit in the back? Okay. Sorry, Sabrina.
Oh, you're fine. No.
Ugh. All right. So, oh my gosh.
What?
Who was in here last? Oh, my knees are on my chest.
Yeah, it's called a Mazda 3 with a baby seat in the back.
All right. I'll hold
the
screen.
There you go. Thank
all
you.
Right. So, what's your overall grade of the movie, Casey?
B+.
B+.
I thought it was really well done.
What would have pushed it over to an A?
They would have had better setups in Act 1. I think James Gunn has a real problem with setting up everything
right.
sloppily. Like, I thought the first act...
He can close out
plans. He can close perfect. Like, yeah. But his setups were sloppy. I felt like when they had Sylvester Stallone stand up and can't act and try and deliver all this exposition
and
of something
that... And you know who that is? That's Starhawk.
I don't even care who that is.
Starhawk.
I couldn't understand who half of the people were when they were talking because
they were dropping Easter eggs left and right.
I know that, and that's fine, but like even when Yondu was saying, I couldn't control the arrow with my blah, blah, blah. What did you say? Everyone's got crap in their mouth.
Right.
They have all these prosthetics, and they didn't do like any ADR so you can hear what they're saying.
No, I know.
Well, that's another point. But no, like all the setups like with Sylvester Stallone was like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Like he cannot act, and they gave him a bunch of lines. But I still loved all the payoffs.
Yeah.
So it's just I don't know the Gamora. I'm sorry, but the Gamora and the sister thing, I was like, this is cheesy.
No, it was because of the daughters of Thanos, and Thanos trained everybody to be killers.
I get it. You know, I get it. But it felt forced. Like it did. Okay. It's like because in some ways, think of it like this. That other character did nothing for the main plot.
Right.
It was only put in for that purpose, it felt like, for Gamora. And Gamora really... those two, the two female leads really took a back seat to everything else in the story, it felt
okay.
like.
Okay. All right.
Instead of them playing like a component.
I kind of liked it as a continuation of one. I really thought, you know, the way they had that dynamic in one, I thought this was more of a continuation. And then, you know, in three, they'll basically have a nice finale to it. You know, Nebula's dead. I mean, that happens in Infinity Gauntlet. It's in the comics.
Wow.
Remember, she tries to take the whole thing, the gauntlet, and it destroys her.
Oh, I don't remember that, but now I do.
Yeah.
So that'll probably happen. That seems like what they're setting up to do anyway.
Yeah, they're setting up for a big, you know...
It's been so long since I've read any of those that I have no idea
but
what happened.
That's the classic Marvel stuff. That was the golden age of Marvel, in my opinion.
Oh, do you think they're going to have the farm scene?
The farm
at the
scene?
Very end of the Infinity Gauntlet?
I honestly believe they will.
I hope so. That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
That was the whole thing about it, you know, just sitting on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, honestly, this was what I was really, really impressed with all the drop cameos. I really liked it. I liked that thing at the end by the way, spoiler, where they actually had the original Guardians of the Galaxy all together reassembled. Major Force, everybody, and Starhawk and everybody else. If you read the comics, that was the original incarnation of the Guardians of the Galaxy. That was around back in the late 70s, early 80s, which was really cool.
Huh.
So
I did not know that. I don't know the history as much with that stuff, but that's pretty cool. So they're not doing another spin-off movie.
No, they're not doing another spin-off movie. But that was, there was just a little homage because that's who the Guardians originally were. I mean, that was their crew. You had Major Force, Vance Astrofick, everybody on the thing for it.
Huh.
So it was actually pretty cool to see them all together on the screen on it. So I like that. I like that. That was very nice. And then to have the Watchers. I honestly was shocked to see the Watchers because I thought that was Fantastic Four and owned by Fox.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
That really, because they, I mean, that was their first appearance was, you know, in the Fantastic Four. So someone said that they made some trade-offs with Fox in order so that Fox can do the TV show and Legion. This was actually the trade-off for it.
Oh, okay.
So that they're actually going to get a couple of the characters, including Galactus for the Infinity War.
Good. They need him.
And the Silver Surfer.
I don't know if they can redeem that character at this point.
Silver Surfer is pretty much a
character. He's a plain Jane anyway, yeah.
He always has been.
I am here.
Hello. Yeah. But, I mean, all you have is you got Black Panther, Wasp and Ant-Man, and then Thor Ragnarok, and then we hit Avengers 3.
Yeah.
The Infinity War. And they had, I mean, to see the little drops with Chris Pratt filming with Robert Downey Jr. is actually pretty cool.
Oh, is he?
Yep. But I like how Marvel's expanded the cosmic universe. They can only so many times you can threaten Earth to destroy it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I'm just surprised at how they were able to make Kurt Russell and Ego work. Because I everything was worked for me in that regard.
Yeah, it did. And I honestly thought, you know, the age back on Kurt Russell was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know any better, I mean, Michael Douglas, you could sense a little bit off, but Kurt Russell,
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But no, when they were, if you notice, they went through the windshield a couple times to distort it more.
Yeah.
Because there was some there was some elements of that that was
it's
a little bit
still
off.
Still pretty impressive.
No, it was impressive, yeah. But
and his voice even sounded like young Kurt Russell.
My problem with most of these movies that are getting so far out of reality that they're just so not grounded in anything. Like when I watch these and I just see them in green screens and special effects and right. It's just galore and it's just like.
But you have to admit, for CGI characters such as Groot and Rocket Raccoon, they show a remarkable range of emotions.
They do.
And the character and the audience cares about those characters quite a
no,
bit.
No, no, no. And I think that's fine. I'm okay with CG characters. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know, the environments, just everything being CG gets a little old. I mean, there was a couple sets here and there that they had, but I don't know. I just... It reminded me a lot of Doctor Strange. Well, Doctor Strange was worse in the way that nothing was grounded in reality in terms of, like,
Doctor Strange
physics.
Doctor Strange was an odd duck movie. I don't know if I'd even do a Doctor Strange 2. I think you introduce the character, put him into the thing.
Yeah, no, that movie did not sing too well.
It was interesting, but, you know, move on.
So, Sabrina, what did you think?
Alright, but you have to admit the Sentinels, not the Sentinels, I'm sorry, what was that called? The Golden People.
The something, start with an S.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, it wasn't Sentinels.
So it's like society or something.
The Sentinels?
Yeah, sentience or something.
Sentience,
like that.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, I thought they were actually very pretty cool. I mean, the fact that they don't even pilot their own little spaceships and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that made total sense.
Yeah.
Well, but that's one of those, like, James Gunn justifications there. Because as they were killing them... Because what James Gunn likes to do, and similar to what I would do in this situation, he will call attention to something so that he can dance around it and make it work for the film. Like,
right.
The relationship between Gamora and Star-Lord... He hit the nail on the head with the TV thing early and basically gave some writer's hand to illustrate what he wanted to do so he
exactly.
can do what he wants to do and justify it inside the story.
No, I get that. I get that. All right, let me ask one of your major critics that you had with the first one was you did not like Drax. What did you think? Did he get better this one or worse?
I think that he is... The first one was a slightly inconsistent character.
Right.
This one I thought worked a little bit better. I think he
that was...
That
his first acting role, too.
Yeah. Well, I think he's gotten better at acting, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a great job as sort of like a comic relief with the rest of them.
Right.
He doesn't really... He can't really drive the story much on his own.
No, of course not. He's basically a peripheral side character. Rocket Raccoon could star in his own movie.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know.
Now, do you think Vin Diesel was paid for this movie?
Was he paid?
I don't know.
Oh, how much was he paid?
Yeah, no, do you think he was actually paid? Because he was Groot, but I don't know if it was voice modulation. I was looking for his name.
No, they definitely, because it was as Vin Diesel, right. Vin Diesel as in the credits.
They're going to be tying in the Inhumans and everything else to the cosmic universe. It's weird.
I think
how they can do it. And you know, this movie right here is going to make $1 billion.
Oh, yeah, no, this movie will do really well. It's...
And these are B characters, which is amazing. I mean, you take...
Well, but here's the thing.
You
stories,
take Superman versus Batman, and that doesn't even crack $1 billion. And you take these guys, and you... I mean, again...
It's called storytelling. It's called having good characters on a good story. And
yeah, it still amazes me.
And
that
DC can't do it right now.
DC can't do crap.
And I mean, it looks like they're shooting themselves in the foot with that one, by the way.
Yeah.
They're doing no advertising. When does it come out?
Which one?
Wonder Woman.
They've done a ton of advertising. Comes out in June.
For it coming out in June?
Yeah.
Compared to what I've seen in the advertising bit that was for like Batman versus Superman or say,
yeah,
I don't
but
know,
that
this?
Was that was them doubling down and trying to cash some money on things for it. And they really kind of, I mean, making it dark made everybody depressed. I still watch that movie. It's still horrible.
Yeah, no, it is. But what was interesting about this one, though, was they actually did get pretty dark by, like, killing the crew off and...
That was dark.
Yeah.
I really have to admit that.
I think Janu may have stolen the show a little bit.
Janu?
The blue guy.
Oh, okay.
I think he did really well. I think the problem was his very introduction... was like super forced. I think the him at the brothel and then coming out with Sylvester Stallone. That was like the worst setup.
I don't know. I mean, the one thing I saw on that was more of a continuation because it was. Here's the one thing I like. It was consistent with the first film. Every name and everything they said in the first film about the characters, they continued on it too. I mean, with Rondu, with that is even his name. That's gonna bug me now. With him being, you don't know his dad. His dad's an asshole. Remember that at the end when they're flying off?
Oh yeah.
He didn't take him to his father. So at least they were consistent in the storyline.
Yeah, that's
James
true.
Gunn said he has written all three of these together, and he has a definitive storyline, and then he signs off with three. And then four will be an entirely different group set of characters.
He didn't write them all at one time, though.
But he had a major idea in his head what he wanted to go with it.
Okay, well, I could see that, because really this... It did work pretty seamless with Ego in the first one. And I did love the reveal that I'm not even going to say that because it's a good reveal about Ego and Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Like, I was like...
Wow.
And then the way that they... when they did this, I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because that quick change of character for Star-Lord was perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. It was needed. It was definitely needed.
That was it. I mean, despite being all this godlike powers and everything else like that. And it really helped tie in how he could hold the Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Which
made sense. And then now he's lost his all... He's human again.
Now he's human again on the thing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, great. You know,
Because if he was immortal and couldn't die, the entire ending wouldn't have worked then.
Nope.
So that was an interesting...
No, I definitely like that part of it. They have Cosmos the dog in the credits. I love that. And Howard the Duck.
The thing that drove me nuts, I think, the most was just like there was a lot of stuff that was really conveniently tied together.
Yeah. But it's still a comic book. That's a lot of the way comic books are written.
Yeah, I know. But I think the conveniency of like, oh, we're fighting and then she shoots me with a plane and then now we go underground and now we go further and then we find the truth in the thing at the same time. Okay. It was just one of those things where...
But that's in a lot of movies. I mean, really hold this one.
That's exactly what you have to do with that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I think the two female lead thing was kind of wasted in a way.
What did you think of the opening?
Where
with Groot dancing.
I thought that was a good choice. I really like that.
I mean, you don't... Because you've seen a million battles with space ugly creatures and stuff like that. But to put it in the background...
I thought that was a good choice. But I thought that the introduction of the characters was kind of weak.
Right.
Like, just, here comes the camera. And then everyone is kind of standing there waiting for a battle to happen. And then... Why aren't you wearing your exposition thing? Oh, it chafed my nipples. And they had the payoff later, which was fine. Because the payoff is where a gun works well.
Right.
The plant was just like a little awkward. Like,
I get that.
Why aren't you doing this? Please tell me again, why are we here?
But, I mean, they dropped so many things with those planets that were just streaming by. And little things. I mean, I almost want to go slow motion so I can watch all
that
stuff.
Yeah, because James Gunn is a huge comic book fan. So that's why he did all those.
And he did it well. I mean, that's what they need to do. They actually need to embrace the comic books and stop.
Well, think about all the directors that do well with Marvel films. They're all comic book fans.
Exactly. And then when you take Zack Snyder and decide to, I want to make everything dark and gritty.
Zack Snyder.
The man has no idea how to do a comic book movie.
I would say that he did.
He's doing Justice League.
I think he did Watchmen exactly how the comic book was made.
Watchmen was great. I mean, I'll take that back.
But that's the problem. That's the problem, though. I think with Watchmen was he made it exactly as the comic book was. And that's the reason why I didn't.
I liked Watchmen. I thought Watchmen
was great. I know you did, because you love the comic book, too.
I love the comic book. Yeah. But I don't want to see Watchmen style when I see a Superman movie. I don't want to see Watchmen style with Batman versus Superman. I think you screwed up on that thing, thinking, okay, I'm just going to continue this and not learn from my mistakes. Superman's supposed to be bright color.
I think what might have happened also is executives were like, oh, do it like Batman. Do dark and gritty.
Yeah. Batman was financially successful. Let's do it like Batman.
And they didn't realize that, oh, no.
That's not why Batman's popular.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, anyway, this has been the Drive Home with Casey Jeremy and a very quiet Sabrina in the backseat.
All right, Chris.
Are you still back there, Sabrina? All right, this has been The Drive Home. Thank you very much for listening. If I can shut this thing off eventually. There we go.